Today's Daf is Daf Gimel, and if you remember last year, we were talking about the fact that the certain chalakim, so even Yeshua and Kalv to the chalakim and the Meraglim, when it came to the chalak of the Mitlonin and Madar Korach, that Nafala Emtza. So what was it, and it said that they lost, but their children didn't lose a chalak. So what's interesting is that Menachem actually pointed this out after the shiur. He sent me a message that, but one second, there was Shevet Levi. So what chalak we're talking about? So that's why I just saw a comment in the parash talking about meaning if they had from their maternal grandfather who was from a chalak in a particular shevet, because it could have that situation where they would have been yorish and that maternal grandfather had no sons and went down the man who got to him. That's saying that they didn't lose a chalak, the grandchildren of say the ch or children or grandchildren of Korach. Okay, beseder. Let's continue with the Gemara now. Now, if you remember last time, we were talking about this interesting way of Chalukat Eretz Yisrael. We had Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the mating were Moorish. So the it was I'll give you the Lashon right, because it's interesting Lashon. It says that that in this situation, the mating Yorshim Chayim, even though usually living people inherit from the dead, here it was the dead that inherit from the living. So if you remember the way that what that meant is the people who came into Israel got divided amongst the people that came in. Then that which was taken, they were Moorish, they went all the way back up to the people left from Mitzrayim, and it was redistributed amongst their, as like a Yerusha. It was a funny loop type of system. So here what he's saying is when you got Meitiv Rabbi Yochanan, he is actually bringing a proof, or Rabbi Yochanan Meitiv, because he's bringing a contradiction within the Pasuk itself. It says, Veveiti etchem el ha'aretz. Now this is just a change with the actual Pasuk itself. Asher nasati yadi latet is a matana, latet la'avraham Yitzhak Yaakov, and atzeh lechem morasha is inheritance, ani Hashem. So he says, "Imatana lama Yerusha matana." So what's the contrary? Is it a matana? Is Yerusha? There's a difference between the two. And he's understanding matana. That's a description of exactly what's happening. Meaning, it was given as a matana that people went in, and then it turned out becoming a morasha Yerusha, so it went back and then inherited down again. That's the source of what he was saying. Yeah, fair. Now it says, "Ella." So now Amar Rabbi Hoshaya says, "Koma komshinah morasha," as opposed to Yerusha, is Lashon Diha. Diha is like faded, or it means white. So weak, sorry. I'm saying white because it's reference here to the Negayim. That's where the Marapulda says it. And why is it weak? So the Marapulda says, it says, because it's Morasha, I'll read the whole thing actually. It says, Kama Diha Hemeno Benegayim, Nechshach Amar Yitol, meaning the whiteness darkened, so in other words, it wasn't as bright white anymore, and that's a sign that the nega had healed. That's the context of Dihah there. It says, Vachanami ktiv morasha lashon yorsha, that the lashon of morasha is weak because it implies that they are bequeathing and not inheriting themselves. That was an illusion, because those of the Mitzrayim died in the Midbar and they didn't come to Eretz Yisrael. That's why I've got a Lashon and Morasha. So it's not like a strong Yerusha, you're going to get this land, but you were Moorish, but you didn't get it yourself. So the Gemara now says, but one second, Akti Morasha Kilat Yaakov. Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe, Morasha Kilat Yaakov. He's saying it's a weak Morasha here. So the answer is yes, actually. So Amar late Dihas Sugimine, Min da la'ay, when you put effort in, hu mishkach kula. Now, hu mishkach kula is two ways to understand that. I'll just show you the Marfulda. He says, when you are, ein lacha, and it says, the ein lacha, leit diha sagi minei, means there's no sagi, your term is there, right? So there's no greater diha. Why? Min du la'ay, after, even though you put effort into it, mishkach le, mishkach, he understands, is this mishuhu osek ba, that even though we learn Torah, we're susceptible to forgetting it. So that's the diha. So even though it's a, in other words, it's not a strong Yerusha, that once you get it, it's concretized, you have it forever, we're susceptible to forgetting it. That's why it's, the Torah is referred to as a morasha. Whereas if you want to maybe on both positive spin, the Pnei Moshe explains it differently. He says, after you, in other words, it starts by being faded. And he says, min dahava ila'ay, however, if you put effort into it, v'achar shigar behu motze et kula im tama v'nimuka. So it's mishkach or mishtakeach. Like, in other words, is it I'm finding it or am I forgetting it? So Marfulda says you're likely due to forget as time goes on. He says, no, you're going to find it. Meaning, again, it might be in its transmission or acceptance, you might find a bit vague, but you put effort in and you're going to find clarity. That's two ways to explain exactly what Mishkach means. But anyway, that's an allusion to Mor HaShah anyway, that it's, don't be surprised, it doesn't have this strong terming of Yerushakelaikov, it's a Mor HaShah. Okay, now this is Nahalacha Gimel. Echad ben v'echad bat b'nachala. That really both a ben and a bat have access to or rights to nachala, following laws of precedence, as we explained before, to their mother's inheritance as well. So Elisha ben notel pishnayim benichsei av ve'eno notel pishnayim benichsei em. That even though we know that a bechor, a firstborn boy, has a double share in the inheritance, that is only from the inheritance of his father, but when he's yorish from the mother, it is distributed evenly amongst the boys. Va'banot nizon, as we discussed last year, actually. Va'habanot nizonot. This takes us all back to Tubot, if you remember, that if even though the boys are Yoresh, the girls are supported from the Yerusha. Okay, and what Yerusha, and that was a Tnai Ketubah that was built into the Ketubah, and that is from which type of Yerusha? That's Minichsei Av and not Minichsei Em. Okay, let's now look at the Gemara. Chara ben v'chara ba panachala. So let's, it says Ktiv b'chol Hashem tza. Sorry, let me get the right lash on here. Pardon me. He says, "B'chol asher yimatzelo." I want to get the lashon right. "B'chol asher yimatzelo ki rushito no." Now, if we go back, it says, "Ki et ha'b'chor ben asno ayakir, let lo pishnayim b'chol asher yimatzelo." So here, referring to the chelik of the b'chor, it's meant to be double that which is yimatzelo, that which is in front of him. So this is where we learn the principle that the only time a b'chor gets double is what's b'muchzak and not b'ra'ui. Muchzak means the property is rather valuable and not stuff that's going to be coming. So, like a future Yerusha that was going to come by way of some other way. So, in other words, only stuff that's there when the father died. And that has the types of ra'uis, but it's said to be muhsak. So the Gemara now says, Ketzad yoresh b'ra'ui k'b'muhsak. Now, what's interesting is the Pnei Moshe changes the girsa and says, actually, Ketzad ain, meaning it should be, how does a yoresh not, has he not yoresh b'ra'ui k'b'muhsak? Because he can't. You can only be yoresh b'muchzak, but not k'ra'oi. So the Gemara now says, so check out the next ketzad. By the way, we will continue to explain it as it gives in front of us in a moment. But let's just keep the first part because Meir Moshe says that's the story of the first part, and actually, without changing the gears, the Marfulda is related to the second part we're about to read. So let's continue. Met aviv ben bechaya avi aviv. Let's say their father died in the life of their grandfather. And then what happens? Notil pishnayim minichsei aviv, the bechor can get a double share on his father's property. Ve'ein notil pishnayim, but he won't get a double share benichsei avi aviv. When the grandfather eventually dies, that's something that was ra'ui and not muhsak at the time of the father's death. So therefore, he doesn't get a double share in that. So that's how it fits very nicely with the Pnei Moshe. It says we have to change the gears like the Tosefta, like his gears in the Tosefta, which is Ketzad Yoresh, Ein Yoresh Baroi Kama Muchzak. However, then it continues. Aviv Bechor, if however the father was a Bechor, Kishem Shenatal Menichse Aviv, Kach Notel Benichse Aviv. So what this means is, I'll show you now in the Pnei, the Bar Fulda, because he wants to explain this. Says, this is an example of how he could Yoresh the Ra'ui Kama Muchzak. It says as follows. If Met Aviv. So again, the father died before the grandfather, but the father was a Bechor. So the children now can get a double share in the grandfather's estate because the father was a Bechor. Okay? Just like with Tzlofchad, because if in that situation the children take the place of the father when inheriting from the grandfather's estate. So just as the father's a Bechor, they too as well. It says, it says, despite the fact the father at the time of his death wasn't muhsak in the property of the grandfather, because the grandfather's still alive, nichse aviv. Nonetheless, the father can still notel, meaning even though he's dead, pishnayim b'nechse aviv. Okay, in other words, they can still get that double share. In Kematzinu, you find therefore Shabachor Yoresh Bura'ui Pishnai Kamuchsak. So it's like a funny way of the Ra'ui Kamuchsak, because it's not really the case if you think about it. And then Pnei Moshe could argue and say, what are you talking about? Because, okay, I've explained what the Marfil is saying. Marfil is saying is this is kind of like a Ra'ui Kamuchsak, no? Because the father passed away. Nonetheless, the children that are taking place still get a double share in the grandfather's estate. okay? Because they're taking the father's place. But you could say that that's not really a case of Rabbi Musa. Ruka Ruy Kamamuksak is like the first case, which is not real Muksakat, meaning they, on their own accord, this Bechor can't get a double share from the grandfather's estate, like in the first case, because at the time of the father's death, it wasn't in the father's possession yet. That's it. This is kind of interesting one because Penny Moshe might say, what are you talking about? Because that's not a case of Rabbi Musa, because they're simply taking the father's place and using his legal right now to Yoresh from the grandfather double share that their father should have received. So anyway, that's how he explains it without having to change the Girsa. Fine, let's continue. Reish Lakish says b'shem Abba Bar Delaya. Nemar mishpat l'inyan kfeil v'nem mishpat l'inyan pshuta. The term mishpat is used in the bechor, right? I mean, in terms of the bechor gets double share, like mishpat bechorah, like the pasuk we kind of just read. Ki hu reshito no lo mishpat bechorah, and it says also mishpat l'inyan pshuta. So the that pasuk there is im einachim la'av aviv. This is the, if you like, the pasuk, and it says later on the pasuk. So this is like the pasuk, effectively the son, in if the father died before the grandfather, takes the father's place in the Yerusha of the grandfather. So much as Mishnah is saying is, you see the term mishpat used in both. So just like says, mal inyan pshuta ataro et aben ki ilu kayam. Little pshitut aviv, just as with the case of the son, you look as if the father is alive, such that the son can take the father's place when you're actually the grandfather's. So to afnei nekfela, so to the kfela, the double share that we learned by the bechor. If the father's a bechor, ata oren haben ki ilu kayam little kfela aviv. So to you also look at the ben that died. Let's see. I'll just read them. Probably Moshe shemet kodem aviv. Well, he said ben enav, but really using an example where it was son, grandfather, and grandfather, we look at the father still alive in a sense that he can receive a double share. He was the bechor from the grandfather, so the children can get that double share of the grandfather. That's so, what Reish Lakish is trying to show us here is this din we learned, the source for the din we learned in the Sefer, that again, if the father died before the grandfather passed away, then the children mamash take his place with all the legal rights the father had as if the father was alive, such that if the father himself was a bechor, the children would receive by way of going, by taking the father's place, if you like, in the division of the state, the double share in the grandfather's estate. That's effectively the point. Okay, you're fine. Let's continue. This halacha dalet. Mishnah begins. Ha'omer ish ploni b'ni bechor, lo yitol pishnayim. If someone says, I don't want my son to read a double share, or ish ploni b'ni lo yirash imechav, or this particular son, I don't want him to receive an inheritance at all. Lo amar klum. He has said absolutely nothing. Shidna amasha kodu b'Torah. Because what you've done is you have gone against the Torah law, and any tnai you go against the Torah law, it falls away. However, hamechalek nechasav al piv. If someone's simply distributing and giving out his assets before he passes away, al piv riba lechatu miyat lechad. If he doesn't do it, he does it disproportionately, not evenly. Then lechadish, in other words, lechadish shvel. Once again, Reba lechad or miyat lechad, he shvel laem at bechor. He make that the bechor receive equal to his other brothers. Dvarav kayamim. So now, because that situation, you're not going against the Torah law, because the Torah, when you're going against the Torah law, that's in the case of Yerusha. If he's giving it as a gift while he's still alive, well, that's not against the Torah law anymore. You can give a, whatever gifts you like. We'll qualify this we get as Gemara. So that's why it says ve'im amar mishem Yerusha. But if he says, what I'm doing now is Mishum Yerusha, then no Amar Klum, because they go against Torah law. Because the Torah law that dictates that the Bechor should receive double, that other brothers and everyone can receive, that's when it's Yerusha, that's when it's inheritance. So if it's done Yerusha, you're going against Torah law, the Tanai falls away. It means it's meaningless. But if it's done as a gift, then it's fine. So therefore, if I were to insert the word Matana, gift, at any point when you're stipulating it, then it would work. That's why, by the way, it's very important when people want to do these wills and distribute in whatever way, they have to get halachic guidance to build out a halachic will. Otherwise, if they're not doing it according to Torah law, they're violating Torah mitzvah. Okay, let's continue. But we'll see here, it's actually not so simple because the Yerushalmi seems to suggest differently, as we'll see in a moment. It says, Haomer ish ploni b'ni b'chor. Yeah, so Rebbi La, sorry. Hishva eta bechor la'achim. In other words, so Rebbe Lau, what he wanted to do, he stipulated he wanted to make the bechor receive exactly the same amount as the achim. He didn't want to give it a double share. Now it's important here. The Maharfulda says it was balashon matana. He did it as a gift, so we presume we think it's okay. So Amalu Rebbe Chagai v'lo krayi. What are you talking about? The pasuk says lo yachol levaker. You cannot do that. Now the understanding here is lo yevaker seems to suggest that this is. Even in the case of Matana, that's what the Gemara seems to suggest. So I'll just read you a few things here. Rabbi Chagai says, "V'lo krayahi." This is Marafolda. "V'lo mikra malehu she'ilu yachol leshvotam lachim afilu b'loshon Matana dichtiv lo yachol levaker." That she'enu yachol. Sorry, he's not allowed to go against the principle of bechor receiving double, even Hashem Matana. Mashmash she'enu yachol that he cannot do that. U'mishn natan v'yishvala hem et bechor demahani. That's b'shchiv mera mairi. So the way the Maharfulda understands it, the Mishnah and the continuation, etc., is as follows. He understands when the Mishnah says it's okay to make everyone, all the boys receive equal, even though there's a bechor there, that seems to be when it is a what? It is a case of a shchiv mera. Okay? If we're talking about someone who's just simply matnat bari, it sounds like according to the Torah, you're not allowed to do so. What's he doing that for? So the Gemara continues. Amar Reb Elazar avodah she'achol ela she'enu. He understands. Just to show you the Maharfulda says ha'avodah says as lashon shvuah she'achol meaning v'lo yuchal perush enu rashai aval I avin mahani. You're not allowed to, but if you do, it works. Which seems to still suggest that even malashon matana, you're not allowed to do this. Ve'efshar, it's possible. This is like an answer. Ve'efshar sheloya bachor noheg kishura. Maybe his bechor wasn't behaving properly. Lechen ishvaleo lo etach achim. That's why he made it equal. The ankan lo pligi rabbanan aled Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Like we'll see coming up in the next daf. Ve'amri she'en ruach hachamim nochem. And if you did that, ela benotem nechasim lacharim. That's if you gift away all your property to somebody else. Aval ki agavna af rabbanan moda. If one of the, in other words, there's a discussion whether, we'll see later on, if the son is not behaving properly, well, you can give all your money to somebody else. Chachamim said doesn't like that. However, in this situation, it seems to be that the why was the Rabbi La allowed to do it? Maybe the Bechor wasn't behaving so well. So that's why he, Belashon Matana, according to Maharfulda is reading the Sugya, that he was he allowed to Hishva, make everyone receive equally. Okay? So it says, Ichen Yachol Mishum Matana, which, or Eitan is the way, but not Ichen, it's like Eichan, how so? That would be in the case of a lashon matana. That's when you could do so. So let me just clear this up for you, because I want to make it clear. It seems to be according to the Maharfulda, and really a lot of the way of the Redbaz, but not 100%, is that that the flow of the sugya was he gifted away all his he sorry he made sure balashon matana to make all his children, all his boys receive the same thing against the din of bechor. And at least according to the Maharfulda explains it, the kasha was how can he possibly do that? Even balashon matana, it's also to do so minat Torah. Rabbi Lazar says, oh, it's not that it doesn't work, it would work. So you're not meant to in normal circumstances, meaning but in a case of matnat bari where the person's healthy, but it could be in this situation because the bechor wasn't behaving properly, that was a justification and allowance to do so. Okay? Blashon matana. According to Maharfulda, what then is our Mishnah talking about? Our Mishnah is talking about a case where it was a matnat shchiv merah. Matnat shchiv merah, we distributed all evenly. That would be a different situation. Why? I'm not sure. By the way, the Pnei Moshe's reading the sugya is slightly different. He says the haba mina was he was doing balashon yerusha, and at the very end, Amar Lazar and Rebbe Lazar was davar yachol ela she'en rashai. Rebbe Lazar was almost like hinting to Rabbi Chagai that perhaps in this situation he's able to, meaning he's hinting it to him. And the response is, oh, okay, ichen yachol mishum matana. Of course, it was okay because in this situation, it was a case of a matana. Mashma, then he's allowed to do lashon matana completely lechatchila, according to Pnei Moshe's reading the sugya. And that aligns with the Mishnah, when it's lashon matana, there's nothing wrong with what you've done whatsoever. Which is interesting because you daf gimin in the sugya then, in terms of if you're doing lashon matana, meaning you're not going against matana, is it still okay to do it? It sounds like the reading from the reading from the Maharfulda says only really in exceptional circumstances you could, whereas when it came to the other Shittot, it does. When it came to Pnei Moshe, it seems to be okay. All right, let's continue. Says Ktab says as long in the Quran, the Mishnah, as long as you inject the Lashon Matana, then it is okay, meaning it would work. So Amar Rabashaya, one of the examples, Yinaten, that's in the beginning, Lish Ploni Yerusha Shorashtiv, meaning I'm giving him this Yerusha that I'm getting, like Tish Ploni the Yerusha Shorashtiv that she would inherit it. So that's Lashon Matana in the beginning. Yerash Ploni Matana Shorashtiv, that's Lashon Matana in the middle. On Yirash Ploni Yerusha Shenatati Lo, that's Matanat the end. That's examples always said in the Mishnah. Now, Kipunan Nuch Sadeh Ploni Laploni. What if someone says, if someone, this is now, by the way, Shchid Merah, that says, I would like you to write and give this field to Ploni, this field to Ploni, to so and so. Step Ploni, to Ploni. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yakib says, Alun Avdu Kamei Rabbi Yonatan. Elchanan says, really depends. Amalum. Im Lezikaron Devarim, if you simply just write it down to make sure you don't forget it, Vitnu and give it to him, then it's okay because if you remember the case of a shchid merah, someone who's gravely ill, simply he can his matana, his dibur is if you like it's or as if the matana has been handed over. Okay. However, so therefore, if it's a zchirat avreim, all the matana is already given over, so the writing of the document is not a big deal. However, im lezchuto zakoto bichtav, if however he's saying I want you to give it over by way of a contract. Then call him a modish and the lachamita. Then it's too late. The guy died. You can't write a contract after the person died. And the kinyan, he said, was only meant to go through the ketiba, and that's too late. So it depends what the intention was. Let's continue. Shmuel shel Rav Huna, sorry. Matana shekatuv bo b'lashon mecher mahu. What if someone wrote a matana with lashon mecher this way? In other words, it's like he says, I'm gifting, he uses the lashon of both in it. Okay? So the question is, how do we interpret this? Is it a gift or is it a sale? So the Gemara says, Amar le arkevi atrei richshei barke. Like he's put him on two strong horses. In other words, he's trying to give him the zchut, the power of both the advantage of a sale and an advantage of a gift. The advantage of a gift, as we know, it's noten ba'ayin yafa. I'm just short-circuiting this a little bit. We're going through the Purushim. That because, in other words, give it generously. For example, we said when we saw the machloket of giving a well doesn't include the derech and all these other cases like that. So it's if it's a matana, that's advantage there. The advantage of a mecher is there's a shibud nechasim. There's a shibud on it, meaning that if there's that property is taken away from him, the recipient or the koneh can go back to the mocher and ask for compensation. I mean, if it's seized because of the mocher. Okay, then he can go back and get his money. So what it's saying now, by using the double lashon of lashon mecher and lashon matana, he gets advantage of both. On the one hand, it's considered matana ba'ayin yafeh, and a lot more can be assumed as part of the package. And but it also has advantage of shibud nechasim, meaning if the land is seized because it was from the recipient of this plot of land, because the person who gave it to him had pre-existing debts, then the recipient can go back to the person who gave it to him and said, "Please, you've got to pay me back now." Okay, that's what he's trying to say. Now, however, the Gemara says no. Amar chisalo aman ela maiti trei susin chivarin umarkven al trehun. You're trying to put person on two different horses. V'din azla bada, v'din azla bada, umishtakach lo tzayid klum. What happens? You're basically effectively riding on two horses. They're going in different directions, and they're it says the condition is garas shatya as opposed to chivarin is like white. He says like crazy horses. Marfulda says they're going different directions. He can't ride them at all. He's got absolutely nothing. In other words, right? He basically it's a contradictory terminology, and therefore it is considered meaningless. Okay. In other words, you don't get the advantage of both. What you've done is wrote a document that doesn't make any sense. Okay, let's continue. And it sounds like it's null and void as well. Let's continue. They're now in the Mishnah, which is interesting. The Mishnah, and then we'll continue next year. Ha'omer ish ploni yersheni b'makom sheyesh bat, biti tersheni b'makom sheyesh ben lo amar klom shina mashak kedibat Torah. Again, if you're trying to use Lashon Yerusha, and you are now breaking the laws of precedence as set out of the Torah, you're using Lashon Matanah importantly, what you've said is nothing because you're trying to make a Tanai against that which the Torah law is. And therefore, it doesn't work. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruko Omer, Im Amar al Mishra Uyli Yorosho, Devarav Kayamim. If, however, you said this regarding someone who is Ra'ui, who is fitting to be Yorosh from you, then it would work. Meaning part of the the simplicity at the moment, it sounds like anyone who is a potential heir. But if you're trying to do somebody else who's not regular Yerusha, like a for a third party, then it wouldn't work. Now, what this actually means is we're talking about people, we'll discuss this next year. According to Rabbi Yochanan, his position is we're not talking about like you want to give a daughter in place of a son. We're talking about if there are many sons and you're trying to say one son, in other words, people of the same, let's call it rank or law of precedence, if you want to give one over the other, then that would work. As long as on the same, if you like, same rank, that's when it work. I'll just show you here the Marfulda. He says, here we can see the Gemara. Anyway, it says, it sounds like he's got authority to give whoever he likes. However, so clearly, if it's you're trying to give a daughter over a son or a brother over a daughter, that wouldn't work. However, she'ena bat ra'ui le'rosh b'makom ben, v'lo ha'ach b'makom ha'bat. V'chin modeh she'im yishva et ha'bachor le'banim, lo amar klum, because lo yibaker. So it sounds like if you're trying to mush, in other words, it has to be the people on the same type of rank level, and also you can't break the other law of lo yishva, meaning giving the bechorah a simple share. So exactly how this works in Bezeshem, we'll see next year. But that's what we've got. All right, Kol Tov. Have a good day.